Be somewhat of a moderation next week. In fact, temperatures should reach the 30s on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Not going to get warm, it's just not going to be this cold. Today, partly sunny and frigid, high 10. Partly cloudy tonight, low 0 to 4. Tomorrow and Sunday, mostly sunny. High tomorrow, 18. High Sunday, 21. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why he is a meteorologist Hall of Famer. It's not going to be warm, but it's not going to be as cold as 1 degree in Kenosha, which it is right now, minus 2 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington. It is above 2 at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport and at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN, a digit. The wind is out of the west at 12 miles an hour, producing a wind chill index of minus Joe Montana, 16 below. The dew point is minus 9. The relative humidity is 62%, but the barometric pressure is rising at 30.22. It is 10 minutes after 9 o'clock, and good morning. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin for, thank God, it's Friday. The only January 6, 2017 in the history of humanity. Let us choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great day. Racine Mayor John Dickert on the other side of Steely Dan on WRJN.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the
I saw Steely Dan this summer at the BMO Harris Pavilion on the lakefront of Lake Michigan this summer. Seems like so long ago. Just a nice warm evening. 14 minutes after 9 o'clock, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable chilled package for a thank God it's Friday morning, along with my tag team partner on Community Conversations. Good morning, Mr. Mark Eichhorst.
Good morning, Glenn. Glad to be in studio with you again.
Glad to have you. And he is the mayor of the great city of Racine. Please welcome back to Community Conversations, Mayor John Dickert. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning and a great Friday.
Thank God. I just can stay in the gingerbread house all weekend. Stay warm.
Get a nice little fire going. That's what I like to do. Get a little fire going, and
I can't burn real wood at the gingerbread house.
Oh no,
my landlord won't let me. I can get those fake logs. Oh. It still gives off some heat.
Yeah, I bought one of those heatilators from the Alaskan fireplace, and boy, I tell you, that thing's fantastic.
I have one of those freestanding fireplaces where you use kind of like the sterno flame, and you can use up to 3 flames at once. But if I use just 1 flame, it heats my room by 7 degrees.
Wow. How do you know 7 versus 6 or 8?
Just kind of, you just watch it.
You see Mr. Racine standing there with a thermometer, just measuring how warm it gets.
Look at your thermostat.
Yeah, you just watch your thermostat go up. That's all. Mm-hmm.
You seem like you're in a particularly good mood this morning, Mr. Mayor.
I've had my full cup of coffee, had my prayer breakfast, and I'm ready to go.
So you're all coffeed up?
I'm all coffeed
and
up.
And prayed up?
I'm prayed up.
That's great.
I'm ready to go.
All right.
Well, I got a busy day.
I was wondering what that halo floating over your head was all about.
That's the steam coming off my head because it's cold outside.
I thought it was the afterglow of your big victory last week. Back-to-back championship in the Racine Governmental Executives Rock, Paper, Scissors contest against Racine County Executive / Czar, Jonathan Delagrave. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I was a little nervous. I was down 2 to zip. You know, so I was a little nervous. I was thinking he was going to kind of wipe the floor with me. So it was a tough comeback. I was sweating.
The mayor and County Executive Delagrave were in the studio for 2 hours last week as we reviewed the top 15 stories in Racine and Racine County. And then after the fact, we had the finals because it was a best of seven, rock, paper, scissors. And in case you missed it, beautiful humans, this is how it sounded last week on Community Conversations on WRJN. And so completes, ladies and gentlemen, the top 15 positive stories for 2016 in Racine and Racine County. Now breaking news. The Racine County Government Executives Rock, Paper, Scissors Contest is a 3-2 score. Mayor Dickert leads County Executive Delagrave, and it's a best of seven, so you're facing elimination right now, sir.
Yeah, I take a timeout, readjust the strategy, and we'll see what happens.
Are you trying to freeze the mayor?
Whatever I have to do.
Delagrave is on your left. Dickert is on your right on the radio. This is it. It's a best of seven. Mayor Dickert leaves County Executive Delagrave 3-2. On shoot, gentlemen. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Here we go for all the marbles. Rock, paper, scissors. Well,
wait a minute.
False start. City of Racine. 5-yard penalty. First down. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, Delagrave with the scissors.
See,
ties it up.
See, would have been a tie if I would have had my timing right.
3-3. It's all down to this, beautiful humans. It's a 3-3 tie. It's a best of seven. It is akin to Game 7 of the World Series, the Chicago Cubs at the Cleveland Indians. Best of seven. Here we go. On shoot. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. And Dickert wins it again. Woo! That's how it sounded a week ago today here in the studio. And Mayor John Dickert joins us on this particular Friday on a January 6th. And rank that in the top moments in the life experience of John Dickert.
Well, it was tough. I had, I'd done a lot of studying a film from last year. And, I watched Jonathan. I watched the different ways that he would move his hand and how he would look and the way that he would look and to determine if he was doing a rock or a paper or scissors. And I studied film for about 3 or 4 hours last night and then the night before. And, what I realized was that he adjusts his strategy, and he's a smart young man. He's obviously good in sports and he adjusts his strategy. So I had a really counter. Being down 2-0, I had a really counter.
You were down 2-0.
I was down 2-0.
Like the Cubs were down 2-0 to the Indians and came back.
It was not easy. But
they weren't down 2-0.
No, it was 1-1. So, but they were down 3-1.
Okay.
So you're right, 3-1. So it's I think all the film study, the work, and really
I maintain you got into Delagrave's head.
On rock, paper, scissors, I'm not sure that that's possible.
No, I think he did. When, Dawn and I have 6 kids, right? Okay. And so we had kids in diapers for 10 consecutive years.
Oh, my
a
Lord.
A decade. And when we finally potty trained our last one, the stock of Pampers went down.
See?
Yeah.
Sell your stock.
But so it'd be, 3 o'clock in the morning, and the kids would be crying, as they will. And we would be in bed, rock, paper, scissors. See, would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and Dawn would get into my head. She will not lose rock, paper, scissors.
Well, that's like my daughter. She smoked me last night for the second night in a row on Uno. And my 13-year-old should go to like a national championship in Uno because I can't beat her. I finally beat her on the last game, so I was down 5-0, but I won the last game, so I felt better going to bed. But I don't know what it is about her. She is the best Uno player I've ever seen in my life, and she'll beat me 10-1.
Guaranteed there is an international Uno tournament.
Oh, yeah, I think she should play because this girl could come home with big money.
I started a camp-wide rock, paper, scissors contest when I was the director at the summer camp in Eagle River. And all of a sudden, the next thing I see is there is a international rock, paper, scissors tournament in Vegas being broadcast on ESPN. I was like, come on. I always have these good ideas but never cash in on them.
Like the Kringle Makers.
That's a great idea. But see, now Delagrave, he adjusted it. It went to the Racine Makers. And that would be an amazing name for the Milwaukee Bucks D-League basketball team.
But everybody would think that isn't that a isn't that like a whiskey or something?
Oh, yeah, Maker's Mark. And, yeah. And you can get them to sponsor the arena,
well,
the event center.
I don't know. You know, just heard John Tesh there, you know, three drinks and
yeah, well, you just have one. You could just have one Maker's Mark.
I don't know if that's going to be the best idea for us.
How is the event center progressing for Racine?
Working hard at it. I will tell you that, you know, you talk to anybody out in the public right now, I think it's roughly 800 plus jobs. Those are pretty important to people out there right now. So we're working very hard. It's not easy.
Well,
to do.
What are you doing now? Is the proposal before the Bucks?
Well, no, they've always had the proposal.
There's been no follow-up from them.
Right, but remember that they are the least of the components of what it takes to put this project together.
We're live right now, you realize.
And we
broadcast into Milwaukee.
Yeah, no, it's
we don't want the Bucks to hear that.
No. They know that this is not a maker. They are not a make or break on this thing. They are a piece of the puzzle.
Well, we're up against Sheboygan, and is it Oshkosh?
Correct.
And us.
Right. Right.
Well, the Racine Makers, way better name than the Sheboygan Sausage or the Oshkosh Overalls.
Trucks.
The Overalls of Oshkosh.
Overalls.
So is it more likely that we would get the USA or the United States Hockey League, the minor league hockey team here, more than the Bucks D-League team?
Well, I mean, I think we've got a fairly strong commitment from the hockey organization, and that actually generates more revenue than anything for, you know, the hockey generates more revenue, more nights, more fans than Bucks, indoor football, indoor soccer, all of it. So, I mean, do we want the Bucks down here? Absolutely. Is it a huge thing for our community? Absolutely. Do we have the fan base and the people and the sponsors and all that? Yes. I mean, all that's kind of a given for us. But the project that we're looking at trying to finalize up here is all about, you know, having that asset of a brand new high quality hotel downtown, the convention center space, the entertainment, all those things. Those things have a dramatic impact. But, you know, when I look at it, I not only look at it from that perspective, but I think about, and I think Mark wants to talk about this a little later, and I'm glad he is, the amount of effort that we put in to bring 10 or 20 jobs into the city of Racine, or 50. And people don't quite understand, and there's no reason that they should, the amount of effort that goes in from our department, RCEDC, the banks, everybody, to make that happen in Racine. To think about the fact that we have the opportunity to bring in over 800 jobs, that the effort that we're putting in to get this project done, if you compile all the other efforts that we've done to bring in 800 jobs into the city of Racine, this is nothing.
Well, we were having fun with County Executive Delagrave, as we always do, but he's got this Project 845, which, according to the calculations, or is it 895? Whatever it is, it's under 900 jobs, that once we get to that level, we will no longer be the county in the state of Wisconsin with the highest unemployment.
Right.
So 800 jobs, that would get us well underway.
Right. I mean, when you think about the fact that we've been number one in unemployment for 25 years, you know, one of our goals we've always talked about is getting out of that top spot. That's one top we don't want to be in. We've gone from 17% to, I think we're hovering between 5 and 6 right now. That's fantastic. However, I will tell people, and I tell the business community, and I tell all the folks that I talk to in the public, shaving it from that 6 to 4 or 3 is a far more difficult task than it was from getting from 17 to 6.
It's like if you have to lose 50 pounds, those last 10 pounds are the hardest.
Right, because that's where you have to have the most focus, the most consistency, and it's the hardest group to get to.
Well, you'd have a new Zamboni driver. For one, that's a job.
I think that's something Mark wants to do. I think
you want to be the Zamboni
driver.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't drink anymore, so we would have to worry about that as far as drunk driving. I could do the play-by-play. I do a great Lloyd Pettit
impression.
And you know, Tom Carco, the great Tom Carco, is a phenomenal hockey mind. I bet he would be the color analyst.
Ooh.
We'll have to ask him after his potentially award-winning newscast coming up at
all
the
right.
bottom of the hour.
I think that's a good idea. So you know, when you look at the individuals that would be working in those settings, we have in Racine a very large number of unskilled workers, they call them. So these are folks that have worked in the industry. They don't have a college degree, a master's, or a PhD. And they're workers. They are our workers. You know, it's what we all grew up doing when we were young. And the fact is that since we have a large number of individuals in that space, this even makes that challenge for our city better. Because so when people say, you know, why are you working so hard on this? Why does it take so long? Well, it takes so long because it's the biggest project in the city's history. The second thing is that I'm not going to stop fighting, because to me, those 800 jobs and those 800 lives that are out there that are depending on those jobs, it's worth it.
It could really be a difference maker.
It's a game changer.
Look at what Donald Trump did with Carrier for less than 1,000 jobs, and it was a cause celeb in the media. That was for an entire industry in a state that went so positively in the reaction to that. 800 jobs in Racine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we look back on all the stuff that we've done with RCEDC and all of our other partners, WIBIC and Gateway and all those others. And I don't even know if when we look at all the stuff that we've done over the last 8 years, that all of the jobs that we've done, I don't even know if it equals 800 jobs. I'd have to add it all up. Because, you know, you'll get 25, 50, 15, 30, 40. So, you know, there's a reason that we fight so hard on this. And people say, well, you know, why wouldn't you do this versus doing that? And here's the answer. You can put Band-Aids on everything. And when I ran in 2009, part of our campaign was no more Band-Aids. We have to start bringing in some things that change the way the community works. And if we're going to help save all those folks downtown and all their retail spaces and everything else, and start building tax base, which is what the city really needs, and providing people hotel stay, convention center opportunities, entertainment, jobs, you know, and all the other companies that can help from this. And here's an example. Imperial Laundry does laundry for hotels and things like that.
Yep.
They are a perfect match for us, and this would be a huge boost for them if they were to do all the laundry service for the hotel. That you'll see that in 200 or 300 other levels, right, of people that then get ancillary work from this. It's those kinds of game-changing things that change the direction of us forever. So our crime is at a historic low, unemployment is at a historic low. These are the things now that set us apart from everybody else, and that's why we work so hard to do them.
Have the Bucks given a deadline where we'll hear back from them?
No. So I don't focus on that. I want the Bucks, but it's not the decision maker for us. We have to focus on the big picture. You know, the last time we did this was the harbor.
Yeah.
And that drew $54 million in development after they built that harbor, and I think it cost us about $18 million.
What's the estimate of the kind of economic impact that a new event center would have on Racine?
For about $11 to $13 million a year, so over $400 million in 30 years.
That'll work.
It's a lot of money.
He is the focus mayor of the great city of Racine, John Dickert. Mark Eichhorst is here, Glenn Klein, and we've got the great Tom Carco coming up, who hopefully will adhere and agree to become my color analyst for the Racine minor league hockey team that my dad, who is your number one fan in Southern California, Mr. Mayor,
thank you,
has named the Iceman.
Ooh.
With the slogan, "The Iceman Cometh." That'll work, right?
I kind of like that, actually.
Speaking of winter.
Winter blahs setting in. Holiday hangover hitting your pocketbook a little hard.
WRJN AccuWeather forecast. The cold wave will continue through tomorrow. We'll have some moderation at the end of the weekend, and temperatures are likely to reach the 30s for a few days next week. I'm not saying we're going into a warm weather pattern. There will still be more cold air very close to us, but at least for a while the flow will be more westerly, which allows air to come downhill off the Rockies and move eastward and warm up a little bit, instead of straight from the central and northern part of Canada. But for today and tonight, tomorrow, still frigid. High today 10, low tonight 0 to 4, up to about 18 tomorrow and 21 on Sunday. Weekend will be sunny for a good part of the time. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
When do we get to sunny in 75? Kenosha right now is one above. In Burlington, it's one below. Milwaukee, two above and one above in Racine. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
Good times, good times.
Yeah.
It's not good times in north of the border. They have a nationwide suicide watch going on in Canada today.
Really?
Yeah. The United States junior hockey team came back from two goal deficits to beat Canada in the U.S. national or the, in the national junior cup championship in Montreal last night. They won it in shootouts. U.S. goaltender Tyler Parsons from Chesterfield, Michigan, had 46 saves.
Busy night.
And stopped all five Canadian shots in the shootout. They did a 20-minute overtime.
Wow.
Remained tied at four. And then Troy Terry of Highlands Ranch, Colorado, scored the game-winning goal for the second night in a row on shootouts. Now, hockey is a national religion in Canada.
It is. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah, so they're not happy campers.
No. They were not happy because the last playoffs they didn't have anybody in them.
Last Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Well, you know, the funny part is I'm going to Montreal next week, so I'm going to have a lot of fun with this.
You're from where, sir?
He's going.
You're from America?
Oh, no. The first 10 minutes of the Great Lakes Mayor's Conference always starts with 10 minutes of hockey talk.
There you go.
And you can't speak about anything else until you get done with the hockey talk.
Where's the good times, Glenn?
There are 30 million people in Canada.
Yeah.
And as many people in Canada play hockey as do in the 330 million people that live in this country.
Oh, yeah.
That's how hockey crazy they are.
You're given skates before you're given shoes in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and bacon.
Forget the booties.
It is a religion. I mean, it really is up there. And they know every player.
Oh, yeah.
They can tell you, you know, I was talking to the mayor of Thunder Bay the other day, and he was telling me about, you know, how many of his players, he can name every single player from Thunder Bay who's playing and in what team in the NHL. Every single one. And they track them every day. Oh, yeah, Glenn had a tough time last night. He didn't score any goals last night, you know. Sure.
Yeah, it's pretty good, Mayor.
Oh,
Decker.
Yeah.
It's not that different than a Wisconsin
it's
accent.
It's really not.
Minnesota.
You always know when you're talking to a Canadian when they say about.
Yeah.
About. Is that the about?
That's right.
Well, I don't know. We're about maybe 2 or 3 degrees less.
That and A.
A little bit of that A.
A. So, TK, Mayor Dickert, pretty confident about when the event center goes up that we are going to get the minor league hockey team.
Yeah, like he said, that has been the main emphasis of that facility in terms of a broad scale. The Bucks, again, were the secondary attraction, if you will. I mean, they get more attention because basketball is probably more popular than hockey in some circles. But it's the hockey team. And they've got a lot of you SHL teams all around the country.
And Mark Eichhorst has already volunteered to be the Zamboni driver for the event.
Okay. We'll
and play. It's perfect because he doesn't drink anymore, so there's no danger of him drinking and driving. And, of course, once WRJN gets the broadcast rights for the Iceman, the Racine Iceman, that my dad named, that Mayor Dicker kind of likes that name.
I kind of like that. Hey, Dad, if you're listening out in California, nice job, but work on your kid.
Believe me, he still is. So I will do the play-by-play if you'll be my color man, TK.
Oh, sure.
You've got a lot of spare time on your hands, don't you?
I'm hoping.
And you love the hockey. I know that.
Yeah.
You and the missus.
Nothing better than good hockey.
Yeah.
Except if the Packers beat the New York Football Giants. Well, that would be good.
That would be nice, too.
Yes, indeed.
From Wisconsin Radio Network Sports, this is the Titletown Report. Now, with the latest from Lambeau, here's Bill.
Colts coach Chuck Pagano has been told by owner Jim Irsay that his job is safe and he'll return next season, according to NFL insider Alex Marvez. And the defending NBA champions, the Cavaliers, reportedly trying to complete a deal with the Hawks to acquire Kyle Korver.
We are Boss Sports!
And we are Magnum.media's WRJN. It is 16 minutes until 10 o'clock on a thank God it's Friday morning. Glenn Klein in the studio with Mark Eichhorst and Racine Mayor John Dickert. So I was having breakfast before coming to the radio station this morning at my favorite local greasy spoon. And a number of your constituents, Mr. Mayor, were chatting about the incoming presidential administration. And they didn't have it right. They didn't have it right at all. They were conservative, definitely. But they said that President-elect Trump never takes anybody's opinion into account and that he should stop tweeting. Number one, he is not going to stop tweeting. And number two, he takes everybody's opinion into account, including Julian Assange and Vladimir Putin. When the incoming Secretary of Defense, General Mattis, came in and said, listen, torture doesn't work. All I need is a pack of smokes and a six-pack. Immediately, Trump changed his mind. And Trump is just all about looking good and winning. He doesn't care. He'll take any position as long as it's projecting strength from him personally. And now, because he's going to be the president, unbelievably, he just cares about getting people of expertise who are sharp and who are winners.
Well, I think there's the thing that concerns me about this the most is that anytime anyone interferes in our elections, I don't know how anyone can stand by in Washington right now and not be more concerned about this. I mean, I've heard comments today.
Hold on for a second. We've interfered with so many countries' elections, including this president, the current president Obama, in the Israeli election, trying to get Benjamin Netanyahu. So, having said that,
right, I'm not going to say that we're not doing that, because I would assume that we get involved in a whole variety of elections. The problem that I have is this: would everybody be saying the same thing if the outcome of the election was different? And I think the dynamic of the conversation would be completely different if Hillary Clinton had won and you had the Russians interfering with the election on her side or on any side. So all I ask for as a mayor is this: have the same concern no matter who won.
Right,
and I don't think that's there.
Of course not, because that's the problem with our politics. We have a team sport mentality in our political world, which does not work, which is, if somebody on my team does it, it's all good. If somebody on the other team does it, it's all bad. It's like this. When Alex Rodriguez, or Ryan Braun for that matter, was found to be using steroids and cheating, the only people that kept cheering for them were Yankee fans for Rodriguez and Brewers fans for Ryan Braun, because they're on our team. If they were on other teams, the Yankee fans and the Brewer fans would be against them. And this is what we have in our politics, and it doesn't work. We have the Democratic Party being led now by Chuck Schumer, the new minority leader in the Senate, Nancy Pelosi, the old, and the emphasis on old, minority leader in the Congress, using the slogan now that the Republicans want to make America sick again. This is an old play from an old playbook. It doesn't work. I think the prototype for the comeback for the Democratic Party, and we need a strong Democratic Party. We need competition. We need a strong, loyal opposition that makes adjustments so that we don't see the complete disintegration of the Democratic Party. We need people like you who can speak effectively and from their heart on things like faith, who love the country, who truly respect the military, and who are for the working class. When Nancy Pelosi beat Tim Ryan, the Ohio congressman, to remain as leader of the Democratic Party, I thought, this is a really bad sign for your party.
Well, you know, the problem is, and I think one of the reasons that President-elect Trump is President-elect Trump, is because I think the American public has just had it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've had it with everything, and he was the guy that was the outsider. I mean, Hillary was still seen as an insider. And as much as everybody said, you know, we hate Congress, they reelected him. So there's that mentality, that team mentality that you hear from people: I hate Congress, but I love my congressman.
But it's not just Trump. The Democrats have lost 1,000 state legislature seats.
Oh, yeah.
Since President Obama came into office.
Well, if you're going to get to strategy, and I think it's important to think about this, when you get to strategy, the Republican Party was very smart in saying, we're not going to focus on the president so much during the Obama administration. We're just going to do everything we can to make him unsuccessful, which I think is a disaster.
This has been ongoing since President Clinton was in office, and the Democrats, the far left policies and the attitudes. We were talking about the junior U.S. hockey team winning. Mm-hmm. There's a video that's going to in process of going viral right now of them lined up on the blue line receiving their gold medal, all singing the national anthem.
Yeah.
That is in contrast to Colin Kaepernick not even being willing to stand for the national anthem, coming from the far left of the political spectrum. We need the Democrats to come back to people like JFK and Harry Truman and Scoop Jackson and Daniel Patrick Moynihan and these great Democrats that loved the country, but that were for the working class and, you know, were maybe more inclusive than your typical conservative Republican, or there's not going to be a Democratic Party left.
Well, I think the thing, though, that transformed kind of the culture and the place that we are right now, or at least the place that we are, not the culture, is that, as I was saying, that what the Republican Party did, which was very smart strategically, was they said in 2010, we're going to forget about the presidentials. We're going to go after the state houses. And once they got the state houses and did reapportionment, they reapportioned these districts to the point where Democrats simply can't win. And so it's a consolidation of power. But here's the problem with that. Whenever you consolidate power on the far left or the far right, the middle and the country does not get a chance to speak. And I think so what accumulated with all of that was the fact that, so you have reapportionment, and that's not going to change until 2020. So it's not like the Democrats are going to pick up a whole bunch of seats, because they're not, because they were reapportioned in a way that they can't. So the problem is really, and I appreciate your comments, but, you know, there's a lot of guys and a lot of men and women like me, they're called mayors and they're all over the country. So I'm not any different than anyone else in many ways. But the middle of the country, the middle class and the people in the middle do not have a voice right now. And that voice is being shut out. When I hear the first bill that comes up in Washington before Obamacare, the first bill is to throw out the ethics committee. You know, I'll tell you.
But that was a bonehead move by the Republicans, and they rejected it after the president-elect tweeted about it.
They rejected it because the country went crazy. But, you know, but here's the problem. That's your first bill?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, with all the problems that we have, I think
that kind of perspective on the right is a similar perspective that has continued to embrace people like Nancy Pelosi. The Democratic Party has basically become a coastal party, a bi-coastal party. California, New York, with Illinois thrown in. And that's not going to get it done. And I'm not patronizing you, believe me. I mean, I hear and I know you a little bit, and I know that you're the kind of centrist Democrat that needs to become more popular, if you will, this type of voice in the Democratic Party, or we're not going to have a Democratic Party.
Well, I would argue that people like me are not popular because we're pragmatic, and there's no place for pragmatism in this culture. You know, most mayors are pragmatic. There's a lot of mayors that I know on both sides of the aisle that they don't go out and advocate for far right and far left issues because we have to run a city. I mean, if you think about it, the city of Racine.
But that's not true for Mayor Rahm Emanuel in Chicago or the mayor of San Francisco or Bill de Blasio in New York. It may be true in towns like our size, because you really get to know the people.
Right.
But those are the faces of the Democratic Party as far as the mayoral offices, and it's not a pretty picture.
Yeah, and that's why, again, I think in a lot of cases we're just pretty much left out. But I wanted to get to
I want to reset about. Here. He is the pragmatic mayor of Racine, John Dicker. This is Glenn Klein, along with Mark Eichhorst. And today you could see Mark was fading away there. His interest level was, once we got him off the Zamboni, that was it. But, you know, we talk about pragmatism. One of the things I've noticed, and I've been here for about 15 months, when I drive from where the radio station is here on Victory Avenue downtown, there's that stretch on Washington Avenue in between here and downtown that gets really blighted. What can you do as far as development is concerned? How do you approach that? And who owns those vacant buildings now?
Well, you're probably talking about Uptown. So what we did was, rather than taking all these plans that we had laying around, we actually did a comprehensive plan and what we call a deep dive in Uptown, which is we brought in some folks, we did a comprehensive planning session, we met with the neighborhood, one of the biggest neighborhood meetings we've ever had, and then we designed not only how we are going to attack it from a crime perspective, but a housing perspective, and we've been bringing in developers to look at the sites. So what we've done is we have a comprehensive plan, and now we're working the plan. So we've
What does the comprehensive plan entail?
It basically says we're going to look at this area, which is the Uptown area. We're going to figure out the dynamics of it. What are the income levels? What are the opportunities that are there? What are the opportunities that are missing? What are the businesses there? What are the core anchors? And then we're going to set up a game plan for it, just like you would for a football game.
Or a rock, paper, scissors contest.
Absolutely. Set up a game plan, and then you say, you know, okay, so these are a couple of key components we need. So we went after the crime issue. We went after the housing issue, stabilized those two, and then we come in and do the rest. So it's all actually part of a very complex plan, but it's a plan. People were throwing things at it in the past. Well, we could try this. We can try that, and this will happen, and that will happen. Ours is very planned out. So we have specific targeted developments. I mean, IRAs was the first. They built the gas station, convenience store, and restaurants on that one site. Now we've got the veterans housing project that is going again. And as we do each one of these, they're parts of the puzzle. So you start building the puzzle up, and as you start doing that and transitioning, you know, slumlord apartments into home ownership, you start transitioning the area. The first and most important piece that we did, though, was go after the crime element and the housing element. Those two, if you don't grab those two first, you can never succeed.
Mayor, it's part of the problem, I think, is we don't brag about ourselves enough. You know, we just went through the top 15 positive stories in Racine and Racine County last Thursday. And, for example, let's take the number one, a good year for economic and business development in Racine and Racine County. There were 29 projects completed in 2016, resulting in 200 new jobs, 334 retained, and an average hourly rate of $17.40. Nine of those projects happened right here in the city of Racine. And this comes from the Racine County Economic Development Corporation. One of them was Acme Construction Company. I said a Kenosha manufacturing company, previously located in a leased space, wanted to control the future by purchasing a building in Racine. This purchase will accommodate the company's growing space needs. The project would not have happened without Mayor Dickert's intervention with special counsel to assist with an environmental matter. And I'm sure you and your staffs were involved in the other eight companies that we're talking about here. We don't hear about that type of thing enough in the media. We take care of it here at WRGN when we did the 15 positive stories last week, but we need to be bragging about ourselves more. And then I think when we have like the arena proposal and things like that, we're going to have other people looking at us and saying, hey, yeah, that's a city we want to go to.
Yeah, and you know, one of the biggest complaints that I've had from not only my campaign team, but you know, friends of mine, is that we don't brag enough about what we're doing, because this is our job. This is what we do. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be, you know, there's a reason that we came down from 17% in unemployment to 5, is that for little things like this. And there was a game plan set up on how to deal with startup companies, small companies, middle-sized companies, and large companies, and we implement that plan every day. Very rarely, though, does, you know, you guys pick it up. When we send out our press releases, trust me, I hear you guys doing it all the time. The media doesn't necessarily jump on this stuff because it's not a bad news story, so it doesn't sell as many papers. The beauty of Acme is they're one of those companies that said, no, we're going to put out a press release and we're going to tell the public what happened. What I see this is, and this is my fault that we don't brag enough about this stuff, this is my job. This is what you've hired me to do. So this is what we do. So these nine companies are an example of what we do on a day-to-day basis. And you'll see why I get so animated and upset when people say, and will come up before council and say, you're anti-business. Anyone who says that simply knows nothing, absolutely nothing, about what we're actually doing. What that is those are people that like to poke. And that's the part, that's what drives a lot of people out of politics. Because when you're this passionate about what you do, you get angry. And I think sometimes it's good to show a little anger with people who are just candidly,
I would hope you would think that
naive.
Would be good, because you do it on occasion.
Yeah, I do. When people are naive,
we
they just
love when you
poke.
Get all animated.
You know, I get a little bit, but it's because of the
here
fact
comes
that
the train.
You know, it's because of the fact that we work really, really hard on this, and we do a lot of pro business things. And the reality is, we're doing it because we're trying to make it a better community. But because our people are better off if they have a job. The community's better off if they have a job.
I think that's why you get the most upset. Because for them to say, with the evidence that Mark just enunciated, that you and your administration is anti-business, what they're really saying is they're anti the people that are working those businesses. And that's really where your heart at is for the folks of this city.
Yeah, yeah, because I've done the doors. I do doors all the time.
What do you mean by that?
When I have a campaign, I'm knocking on people's doors and talking to them. And when you hear the 55-year-old guy who says, I was just let go, my company let me go a year before my retirement, I have no pension, I have no retirement, I'm lost, nobody's going to hire me at 55. Those are the people that we're fighting for every day. So when somebody gets in my face and says, you're anti-business, I want to do more than have a conversation with them. Because the fact is, you don't know what I do every day, and you don't know how hard my team is working. You don't know how hard RCEDC is working, or Gateway, or WIBIC, or any of these organizations that we're working with. And it makes me angry, because I know how hard those people are working to help these folks, and that's what they hired us to do. So yeah, when some guy makes some or flippant comment about nonsense like that, yeah, I'm going to get a little torqued off on it, because I think it's time that we actually start showing a little passion and compassion in this community, because those people are looking for help, and they've hired us to help them.
You want to punch them in the face, don't you?
You want that.
But I have a suggestion. When you want to punch somebody in the face, just challenge them to a rock, paper, scissors contest. You will not lose.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.
The community conversation continues with Pastor Milt Thompson, the local civil rights leader and author of the book, The Only One in the Room, After WRJN Covers the World.
Spies speak secrets. Snow socks south. I'm Christopher Cruz. President-elect Donald Trump will be briefed by the nation's spy.